Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, Mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Laura, and I have my sister-in-law, Emily, here with me.
Hello.
And today we just wanted to highlight one quick thing for you guys. Did you all know that we have a blog?
Yes, we do.
Well, if you haven't seen our blog yet, we would encourage you to check it out on risenmotherhood.com. We have added in a lot of different voices, which we're really excited about. And we try to talk about a little more specific topics than what we talk about here on the show. The show we try to reserve for, in general, pretty broad topics that every mom can find some ability to relate to. And the blog, though, our hope is to be able to not only do that, but also to be able to dive into some specific topics that we maybe can't go into depth here on the show. So you can subscribe to that to get our blog and our new shows straight to your inbox via email on our website. It's on our homepage, and we'll toss a link in the show notes too, so you can see real easy where it's at.
And also, you can subscribe to our newsletter, which comes out once a month. It's put together by our blog editor, Autumn Kern. She does amazing. She pulls together a lot of resources that we share with her, and she writes this sweet letter, and it's just full of really good stuff. In fact, I was reading it when it came out in February. I'm like, I'm going to click on this stuff. This stuff's really good.
I never knew about all of this. Yeah, she does a great job curating a lot of things. It's things that we don't necessarily share on social media, so it's new stuff, and we definitely think you're going to love it. So hit subscribe to that. It's also on our website. It is a different email subscription, though. So just because you sign up for one doesn't mean that you will get both. Just in case, we want to make sure that it's just easy for you to get the information you want from Risen Motherhood. So,
all right. So today we're kind of talking about changing our mind in motherhood. And some of you guys can maybe think of times you changed your mind on something a little bit small and silly, but you still felt a little awkward and embarrassed about it.
Yeah, I remember I cloth diapered my son for the first year of his life, and it was good. Like, nothing really went wrong with it, but I ended up switching to disposable diapers by baby two, and it was one of those things that, like, I had touted the benefits of cloth diapering.
You had all these blog posts about it. You breached the word.
And I was kind of like, I'm done spraying the poop off the diaper. I would really like to just throw it away and never deal with it again.
Yeah, and I think we all have those things before we come into motherhood that you're like, I'm never going to let my kid blink. And then one day you realize, oh, that's my kids right there doing that thing I said they were not going to do. So there's definitely little things that we change our mind on.
But then there are the big things that we change our mind on. And these ones are a little bit harder, a little more dicey. But Emily and I are both going to share some quick examples of ways that we have changed our minds.
So one that we've really wrestled through a lot was schooling. Some of you guys may have heard me talk about on a, I don't know, previous podcast 2 years ago or something that we were planning to homeschool. I mean, we like wrote this in our family vision statement. We built our house. We like put a place in our house that was for homeschooling. We were going to do this. And then as time went on and we had 5 kids in 5 years and we were just found ourselves very full, our hands very full, and our now 2-year-old turned out to have a lot of significant developmental delays. I was taking him to the doctor and to therapists all the time. When I had our 5th baby, I was just like, wow, we are just trying to hold it together. So we ended up putting our oldest son in early kindergarten at a school here in town. And through a lot of discussions, we just ended up looking at the next year or two and saying, hey, this probably isn't the best thing for our family right now. The best thing would be to go ahead and partner with a school that can help educate our children. And it was something that was difficult. And I felt like, oh, I'm doing something different. Does that mean I'm being unfaithful or that I'm a failure? But that's not what it means. It just means we didn't have all the information and we want to continue to grow and change as God brings new things into our lives.
Mm-hmm. And I have a very similar story, but on a different topic. We ended up going through the adoption process about halfway through it. And you guys have heard me talk about it. We have a whole show about adoption where I talked about our journey. And it's funny because God has changed our family plan so many times. We started out not wanting to adopt. Then he moved our hearts to wanting to adopt and then wanting a third biological baby. And that third baby also has some significant delays as well. And our family plan just really, it feels like I've never been able to pin it down, to be really honest. But we were still moving through the adoption process. But this past fall, we sort of came to a new milestone where we would be looking at needing to put some significant funds down and possibly looking at getting our children a little bit earlier than we expected. And all of that combined with our daughter who had needs, we were moving to Iowa. It just felt like it would not be a wise decision at this time to really bring two additional children from another country with their own needs into our family. And it's hard, like Emily said, when you change your mind on something big and that you've been public about, like especially I feel like, gosh, this is all over social media. I've talked about my passion and love for adoption on the show, on social media, with my friends. Like everybody knows we're doing this. I felt a lot of shame and sadness, and I felt like, gosh, we're not fulfilling what we set out to do. And I felt like a failure because I felt like we should be able to do this. This is something that is good and it's not wrong. But as we were evaluating and praying and God led my husband and I to unity on these things, like we knew it was the right decision, but that doesn't change like a lot of those hard feelings that come with.
Yeah. And you may be thinking right now of a decision that you're either struggling to change your mind on because you are feeling those same things. Like I already told everyone in my church or in my friend group that we were going to do this or that thing. And now what do I take it back? Does that make me look like a bad mom, like a bad parent? Does that make me look like, again, I'm not very godly? We also have to admit we're not in control. I think when we change our minds, it's even though we don't say it out loud, it's like, whoops, I didn't know everything at the time. And there's new circumstances. I'm human. I'm limited.
Yeah, it's definitely very humbling to change your mind, especially on these big things. And there's a lot of uncomfortable feelings that come with, like I shared about the shame, humiliation, embarrassment, just general, like, it's just uncomfortable to talk about it.
Yeah, and I will say something I've noticed is that the discomfort for us, at least in some of these big decisions, hasn't been between my husband and I.
Right.
Like, we can come to consensus and feel just like at peace with where God has us, and our conscience can be totally clean. But then when I go to tell a friend about it or I go to tell somebody else, that's when I start to feel a little embarrassed. And that's not conviction from the Lord. That's me being afraid of what other people think.
Fear of man.
Yeah.
So for you, it may not be adoption or schooling. Maybe it's a change in how you work or how much you work or where you work. Maybe it's a change in your discipline strategy or the method of how you breastfeed or bottle feed or how you sleep train your kids or just structure your day. A lot of those things can feel very big. Possibly it's a change in how you work your childcare. Maybe it's changing up babysitters. Maybe it's sending your child to daycare. Maybe it's switching what daycare you use or a change in where you live. I know for me, I said that I would never move away from my family. And 3 years ago, we moved away from family to Chicago with no family at all. And now we're back. But that was something where I had to say like, oh, I've been touting this that I'll never move away. And then, oh, we're moving away. So,
yes. So I think one thing that can help us as we're processing this is to think about who we are in relation to God. And so God is unlimited, and he doesn't have to keep learning and growing because he's unchangeable and he already knows everything. And he can make the best decision in any situation because he sees every single facet of every factor, and he has every bit of information, and he's wise. He knows the best thing to do with that for his glory and for our good. So we are not God, though.
Right. So that leads us to why we change our minds so frequently. And I think one is just the fact that there is sin in our lives and we make the wrong choices for the wrong reasons. And another is because of human limitations. But if we look at just the sin part, heart first, that's where our motives are tainted with wrong thinking. And we are inherently selfish and we're prideful and we don't just worship God. We're constantly having to reorient our hearts. And so sometimes we have to change our minds because we've simply just made a wrong decision out of sin. And we have to learn to grow in maturity as a believer, and we're able to repent. And we'll get to that in a minute. I'm jumping ahead. But that is one of the reasons. It's just that sin taints our decision making.
Mm-hmm. And another reason that Laura jumped into was just our limitations as people. I read this kind of funny article recently about how we always tend to look back at our past selves and think, I was kind of an idiot back then. But we know, like, our future selves are going to look back on our current selves and think that too. And in the article, this guy said, you would never look at your two-year-old and chastise him for not being able to tie his shoes. He literally couldn't have done that at that point in time. That didn't mean he was an idiot. He just wasn't there yet. So in our limitations, we just grow and change in our lives. We don't have all the information. And even if we are making a decision, we can't know every facet of the way everything is going to turn out. We just have to make the best choice we can at the time with the information we have because we're human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in redemption, because of Jesus, we know that we can be changed at a heart level. We now have the Holy Spirit that allows us to see and understand the wisdom mm-hmm. of the Lord. So we can start to discern spiritual truth to grow as a believer. We can repent and we can turn back to God over and over again and improve and learn from those mistakes. We can also just walk by faith, knowing and trusting in God's plan, even when we don't know the future. I think often of just so many characters mm-hmm. in the Bible who made a lot of decisions without knowing the future. Like the midwives in Egypt, when they saved those babies, they didn't know if Pharaoh was going to kill them, but they were able to make those decisions in faith, not knowing the future, just because they trusted in God's mm-hmm. sovereignty.
And God used that as part of his redemptive plan. And I think that's a key. We don't know how God is using our decisions to further his kingdom. And we probably won't know all the yeah. ins and outs of that, and that's okay. So just a few kind of principles as we think about our lives and how to apply this when we are struggling through a situation where we may need to change our minds is to remember, first of all, that there's this verse, Proverbs 16:9, that says, a man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord determines his steps. And again, it's great to be prudent. It's great to make plans and to have hopes and expectations that we think are in line with God's will. But ultimately, God brings circumstances into our lives that we couldn't have predicted, or he shows us our limitations in a new way, like you just hit a wall, and then he changes things. And that's okay for things to be different than we originally planned, mm-hmm. because they are not different from what God originally planned.
Right. You make the best decision you can with the information you have yeah. at the time. And that's what I kind of continue to go back to as my husband and I talk, and as we were talking about things that we felt like were frustrating or we didn't understand, like, why did we make those decisions? Why did God lead us down that path? And we just have to remind ourselves, like, we were faithful in that moment to make those decisions, mm-hmm. but ultimately the Lord determines our steps. And so we want to hold our plans mm-hmm. with a loose hand and always knowing that we want to just give those to God.
And so maybe, like, just to give some practical examples, maybe that is one of you guys, you or your husband lost your job. Maybe you ended up with a child with special needs, kind of like what happened with Laura and I. Maybe you have twins or triplets, and that changes things for your family dynamics. Maybe you have a parent or a family member who becomes really sick, and you need to devote more time to caring for them or being near them. Or maybe your house is damaged. There could be so many things that come up in life that should be taken into consideration, and God brings those with his sovereignty.
Yeah. And so looking at another thing that we can apply from scripture is how we can grow and change as believers. I think of Romans 12:2. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. And so when we keep our eyes fixed on the ultimate goal, which is Christ, and growing in righteousness and growing in our relationship with him, we will continue to lay down our lives, our desires, our personal preferences, all to do the will of the Father. And mm-hmm. so it is a wonderful mark of the believer to be able to grow and change and realize that, like, whoa, I'm starting to think like God thinks, mm-hmm. you know, thinking thoughts like him. Not that you are all powerful and omnipotent, but you are knowing him so well that you love the mm-hmm. same things that he he loves, that you hate the same things that he hates. And that is something that we grow in as believers. And it is a wonderful gift that our faith would mature. And then we start changing maybe how you spend your time, or maybe you change in how your kids, what you do with your kids. I mean, this can be something as simple as, hey, I'm going to change the way we do screen time because I am feeling like, you know, I'm growing in this and I'm growing in my faith. And so this starts to infiltrate every area of a believer's life. And so you may see areas that you didn't 2 years ago, but that now you're saying, in order to really live out my calling and be faithful to what God has for me, we're going to tweak a few of these things. And it might be small and it might be really big.
Yes. That's the goal, is that we are conforming our will to God's will. And it can be little things. And Laura and I talk about this in just our personal relationship all the time. Things that we are noticing or doing or changing. Laura mentioned screen time. That was a change we made in our family recently because we just realized, hey, we're getting too wrapped up in this. We're making this too important. And I actually think it's a mark of a true believer to be able to see things like that and notice what's going on in our heart and repent. That should be encouraging to us that the Holy Spirit is bringing to mind things that we need to change and repent of. So you may be listening and things are coming to your mind that you feel like, I kind of sense God's been asking me to reevaluate this, or I think we do need to change our mind on something and I'm afraid to tell people about it, and just to be able to process what that means.
Yeah, it could be something really small, like, oh, this day is going way off track and I'm on a total war path with my kids. You know what? You can change. We have a whole show about that called A Bad Moment Doesn't Make a Bad Day. And it is such a relief to me. I need to actually probably re-listen to that show because I love remembering that, like, I do not have to stay the same and I can change. Even in this moment, I can choose my attitude and align my heart to God's. Another thing is there a gray matter or a personal preference that you're holding on really tightly to? As Emily was talking about, like, feeling some conviction from the Holy Spirit. And I think I just want to encourage you, if you're feeling a nudge from the Holy Spirit to change, listen to your nudge. When we ignore that, that impacts our ability to continue discerning God's will and to grow and change. And so listen to that and don't ignore it, Mom.
And just because you are wanting to change your mind and repent and conform to God's will, there may be a biblical ideal or standard you're holding to that's starting to feel really hard. And maybe you're feeling tempted to change your mind and go the other direction because you want to do something easier. So just in a last little encouragement, if we are tempted, God can offer a way of escape in that. He can sustain us and help us to persevere. So this definitely doesn't mean change your mind because things are too hard, but continue growing into the likeness of Christ and reevaluating your decisions as God brings new circumstances into your life.
Yeah, and one quick note I want to point out, Emily and I both talked about some really big changes that we made in our lives. If you are struggling to make a change because of fear of man, because of fear of what other people will think, I want to encourage you to trust God with those responses of other people, to know that like your standing is before the Lord. You do not have to worry about other people think or what they say about you behind your back or whatever their opinions may be, because your ultimate worth is found in the Lord. So that has been so key for me to remember that my worth isn't found in someone else's disappointment. Thank goodness.
Praise the Lord. All right. So if you want more information on this, go to our show notes, risenmotherhood.com, and we'll be talking more about some of these things at Risen Motherhood on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. So thanks for joining us. And hey, if you're thinking about the school thing and this came up in your mind, definitely tune back in next week because we have a 4-part series all about school and evaluating that very difficult decision.
Thanks, guys.